Today's message is going to be in a different format. It's going to be a picture, and I'm going to talk to that picture. It's actually some years ago, in 2011, I was the pastor up at Allgate Baptist. And on Palm Sunday, on the 17th of April in 2011, the morning and the evening services were cancelled in favour of a unique artistic afternoon gathering. At the end of 2010, seven artists called Cross Hatch from Allgate Baptist asked me if they could present something different for Easter 2011. At that stage, they had no idea of what they were going to do, but they decided on the seven last words of Jesus from the cross, and it was chosen as the theme for the artistic display. Materials used included oil, paint, fabric, sculpture, charcoal, watercolour, and other chosen medium. And so what happened was that on the morning of, or on the afternoon, sorry, of the 17th of April, a gathering of about 250 or more people from the church and the community gathered together in the afternoon. One of the artists, Paul Perry, had curated the exhibition and put the seven paintings together and had put music between each presentation. So each artist was allowed up to 10 minutes to have their piece of artwork on the screen, but also have it on the wall of the church. And they spoke to their art and they explained why they had done it that way and they interpreted it for us. And then there was music played and people were able to, after the afternoon, to go and talk to the artist. And as we said, we didn't have a service that day. We just had seven sermons presented. Now, during the week between Palm Sunday and Easter Sunday, the church was open and people came during the week, up to about 20 each day. There was one artist on duty from 2 till 4 and they explained, but each of the artists had done a booklet or a couple of pages on an explanation of their piece of artwork. Now, Adelaide is a church nestled in the Adelaide Hills in the midst of a strong artistic community. So it was a logical environment to do something arty. There are a lot of arty people up there in the hills. And there was a big display board out the front of the church. And as I say, about 20 people each afternoon during that week just came in. They sat, they looked, they prayed, and made Easter a very, very special time. That was on the front of Together in Mission. Some of you may have read it 1,000 years ago. But anyhow, that's the background of what we're doing today. And the lady who did the picture that we're going to be looking at in a minute, Jackie, I had asked her to come along and to bring the painting. The painting is about 1.5 metres wide and about 1 metre deep. She couldn't come today. Her mother died last week and she wasn't able to be here today. And the painting is actually in charcoal and pastel. Now, it's on the front of Focus today. You would obviously realise that whenever you try to reproduce anything, it's never as good as the original. But the words that Jackie had were, "I tell you the truth, today you'll be with me in paradise." The thief had said, "Don't forget me." And these are our words today, "Don't forget me." And Jesus said to the thief, "I tell you the truth, today you'll be with me in paradise." So you've got it on the front. I'm going to read what Jackie said. It takes about 10 minutes, but it will give you an insight into what she did and just a different way. I'm well aware that artists see things differently. And I'm aware, even of as I'm speaking of a Sunday morning, that many of you are saying, oh, it's all in our head. Why can't we see it? And I think that's why Jesus spoke so many times in parables, just painting pictures all the time. And when an artist paints a picture and then gives an explanation, I think, how amazing. I think it's why there are so many lovely stained glass windows in churches, because people could go and look and see and think, oh, how incredible. So I'm going to put it on the screen. There it is. We'll turn off the lights. And if you want to, if those on the right want to move to the left, that's all right. Or if you prefer politically to go the other way, that's all right. And of course, because we've turned off the lights, you can't see your little picture, can you? And I'll talk from over here so I can read. So that's the done in pastel and in charcoal. I tell you the truth, today you will be with me in paradise, Jesus said. Through the meditation of these words, Jesus spoke to the thief on the cross. Jackie says, I visualise the cross as an old gnarled vine going down the middle of the painting or the picture. On the night of the Passover, before Jesus was arrested, he spoke to his disciples about being the vine and his father being the gardener. The Bible says that Jesus is the true vine and teaches around this analogy so that we may have deeper understanding of him and his desired relationship with people. Jesus expressed the need for his disciples to abide in him, to deepen their intimacy with him, so that they will glorify God and bear much fruit. On one side of Jesus was the criminal who hardened his faithless heart. Choosing not to abide in Jesus, on the other side was the thief who decided to recognise Jesus, repented, accepted forgiveness, and grew as a branch to the vine. Over the years, the vine has developed gnarls and knots from the spiritual warfare between Jesus and Satan for the sake of all of us whom he loves and wants to be with. The choices people make can either scar the vine or produce new shoots and strengthen growth. On the right, on this side, the repentant thief recognised his guilt, his sinful position before God, deciding to trust in Jesus, knowing that only through Jesus will he have forgiveness of sin and eternal life in paradise. Under the most severe torture and humiliating mockery, he courageously admitted publicly his new faith in Jesus as the living God, producing ripe fruit and becoming an example for all humanity. Jesus then said to the thief, "Today you belong in my family. You are part of my Father's vineyard and you have a home in paradise." The criminal bared his heart for all to see, admitting his guilt, acknowledging Jesus as the Son of God, and he pleads for help. Jesus, in his love, reaches out and takes hold of him and accepts him into his family. Jesus, in the most horrific of humiliating torture, cursed and in pain, only had love words for the thief. You will be with me. In this, he who was guiltless and had every right to complain of injustice, offered unconditional love, forgiveness and salvation in selfless devotion to an unworthy criminal who was the trash of society. In an instant, no matter what the criminal had done, he was made clean and righteous and became secure as part of God's family. Even more amazing is that Jesus wanted to be with him and wants to be with us. He was, from that point, with Jesus, experiencing intimacy and joy that is at the very core of his being. Amidst the pain and the suffering, his life will continue for eternity. This sense of belonging to me is life in paradise because it contains forgiveness, healing, and a fresh new start with a new perspective on life. Whatever weather blows, the thief and all who believe will have strength of the vine to hold him firm, a solid trunk to hold him firm and to hold us firm in the form of a cross, you can see. The warm coloured area where the new shoot comes from and the vine joins symbolically the most holy place through the ripped curtain where the sacrifice of Jesus, the perfect lamb, was slain. We have access and satisfying communion with God. This is paradise. This is where we feel intense joy. And she has written, I am the true vine. My Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I will abide in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must abide in the vine. It must abide in the vine. If a man abides in me and I in him, he or she will bear much fruit, for apart from me, they can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, they are like a branch that is thrown away, withers, and such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burnt. If a person stands before other people and is willing to say that he or she believes in me, then I will say, that person belongs to me, and I will say this before the angels of God. We have confidence, therefore, to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, a new and living way opened for us through the curtain. We have great assurance over the house of God by the priest who has entered before. Now, there are these wires going across the whole picture, and they go off the page. They don't have an end. I tell you the truth. The wires attached to the vine symbolise the truth that is constantly keeping the branches steadfast. When rough weather blows and doubts arise, the wires of the truth hold firm for our tendrils to grip onto. The Almighty Gardener, through whom everything exists from the beginning, keeps the wires taut and strong. They lead off the page into his hands, allowing the viewer to not only see this crucial cross-section of history, but to understand it within the context of a greater plan. When Jesus spoke the truth that the thief was going to be with him, it was the truth, and the thief could rest on his promise. Now, when our understanding in times of suffering becomes too much for us to handle, our tendrils, tender and small and weak, can grip hold of these wires of truth until God blesses us with understanding. God is sovereign, and just in times that we do not understand, he will give us understanding if we learn to trust and abide in the intimacy that he longs for with us. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths, says Proverbs. I have told you these things, so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. You can see here some anemone flowers, and then on this side, there are also a couple. The anemone flowers are commonly found in the Middle East and have been a symbol of death and have been a symbol of sorrow. For the Christian faith, they have symbolised the sorrow of Mary, the mother of Jesus. There is a legend that claims that these red anemones grew at the foot of the cross at Calvary. I have placed them at the foot of the cross to represent the blood Jesus shed, who took the punishment for the sin of mankind. If you look closely, you can see that there are three petals in those anemone flowers. They symbolise the Trinity, Father, Son and Holy Spirit, the three involved in that day of crucifixion. The most common colours around this time of year are purple, scarlet and crimson. On the left side of the painting, there are dead branches, colourless and cold. The dead branches on the ground symbolise the people who have hardened their hearts against God by choosing not to have any relationship with him. Without connection to the vine, there is death, and it becomes impossible to have life without the energy and vitality of the sap that flows through the vine. The self-righteous, mocking criminal died in his sins, rejecting the grace that Jesus offered. For this man and those who follow his example, there is unfortunately no hope, no promise, and no intimate relationship with the living God. The two anemone flowers on the left symbolise that there is hope for those who can still come into a relationship if they are grafted and repent. Ephesians says they are darkened in their understanding, separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their heart. Now you have to look carefully to see the watering system, and over on the left it goes underground. The watering system symbolises the living water of the Holy Spirit that is constantly dripping for all who are in need of life and have accepted the life that God offers. The Father, the gardener, will continue the flow in the hope that all people become part of his vine and absorb the water. That is why the irrigation pipe runs under the ground on the left. The hope that God has for all people that they will respond. That is why the two anemone flowers of hope that God offers with his mercy and compassion are still there for any who accept his free offer. Whoever believes in me, scripture says, has streams of living water flowing from within him. This he meant, the Spirit. On the right, there is the dawning of a new era, representing heaven and eternity. There is no colour on the left. There is no hope for those people unless they accept from down here. On the left, there are also blackberries, if you look closely, symbolising the presence of Satan, who lurks in the dark to strangle and smother whoever he can deceive. The blackberries may look ripe and juicy, however, they have barbs, they have prickles that attach, cause pain, scarring, and ultimately death. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, the powers of the dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realm. Since the children have flesh and blood, Jesus shared in their humanity so that by his death he might destroy the one who holds the power of death, that is, the devil. So, a little bit different this morning. In fact, quite a bit different this morning. But I well, I particularly loved the first time, and this was the first time we did that series and just closed the church on Palm Sunday, apart from the afternoon where the whole community was invited in. The next series was forgiveness, and then the series after that was Were You There? And so the artists each year at Christmas decided on what the theme would be for the following year, and then they would paint towards that, and we would have this display. Now, some of you probably think how boring and how dreadful. I just appreciate the fact that people see things differently. You wouldn't, if you just looked at that painting, you wouldn't think those things. But when you had Jackie's description, when you stood in front of the painting and looked at it, it was just incredible. One of the other paintings on that series was Why Have You Forsaken Me? And it was a big, tall board going right up, starting with grey and going up to black. And it was a little wire man. And they had put tissue on him and wet it and blown it with a blower so that it was sort of like that. And it was this little man standing there with just a little light. Why have you forsaken me? It was a most moving series of things. Well, it was for me. It was a most moving series. And for those of you who go to the gallery or who enjoy painting, take that home and have a think, and we'll perhaps put that up again afterwards if you want to think more. Or if you want to have a read of this, please feel free to do that.